Welcome to the second weekly broadcast of our brand new program, Middle Age, Your Best Age. Once again, it's my pleasure to introduce our host, the Human Alarm Clock, my husband, Roy Richards.
Well, welcome back, everyone, and welcome first-time listeners. If you missed last week's introductory program, our prior broadcasts are saved, so you can go back and listen at your leisure anytime you want. As I mentioned last week, our purpose is to awaken everyone over 40 to joyful, purpose-filled second half of life. I am firmly convinced that middle age can be your best age, and I'd like to convince you of that also. If you're less than fully satisfied with your life today or for your prospects for the future, what's keeping you from a comprehensive self-examination? What's keeping you from launching a journey to a better tomorrow? Some of us may need a 180-degree attitude adjustment from negative to positive. Is this you? You say things like, all things considered, I don't feel all that great about my life today, but I can't spare the time or the energy right now to change because. And because may be any of nine common excuses that we often hear and which we'll discuss on today's program. Who knows, it might be something different also. My guest on today's program is my wife, Gloria, who you met briefly in the introduction. Gloria is going to recite for us each of the nine common excuses we often hear, one by one. This doesn't mean that she believes any of these things. She's just reading a script. I'll respond to each of them and hopefully convince you that none are a valid excuse to remain stagnant and unhappy. So what's your excuse? What's number one, Gloria?
I'm simply too busy right now.
Pray tell, what is more important than renewing your life? Let's commit to making time. What do you have to lose? Once you begin to feel better, you'll be eager to finish the job. Make your intentions known to those around you closest to you. Let them know that you're going to change your life for the better, but never sound threatening or self-indulgent. Your statement of purpose should be something like this. I want to be more positive. No one is to blame. I'm just tired of being down in the dumps. And tell them you probably need private reflection first in private, but that you're going to seek their advice later. Here's a real good suggestion. Why don't you ask, why not join me? Renewing in a partnership or as a team is often the best way to do it. Your ultimate goal is to make life more positive, not just for yourself, but for everyone else in your life, everyone around. Each week, you can set aside specific blocks of time, I'm certain. Here's an idea. How about the first 5 to 10 minutes of each morning? Set positive goals for the day ahead. Think about what you want to accomplish and how you're going to accomplish each task that you have in mind. The last 5 or 10 minutes before you go to bed, how did the day go? Did you achieve what you intended to achieve? How do you feel about the day just passed? How about an additional 2 to 7 hours a week for self-help exercises and to visualize a positive ultimate outcome? Certainly you can give up TV and surfing the internet for an hour or so a day. Be sure you put a schedule on your iPad or your personal computer, on your personal calendar of some sort. And if you miss an appointment, you should have appointments just like any other important meeting that you have. If you miss an appointment, reschedule it. And please don't allow excessive time to lapse between your renewal sessions. Most important, you must get off into a quiet place to reflect upon your future. Put a do not disturb sign on, or if you have to, go to the public library. You have to go somewhere where you won't be distracted by the kids, the cell phone, the spouse, whatever, because it's very important that you get aside for quiet reflection. Your initial target is to take small steps each day to remove the clutter, create balance, and prioritize your agenda. Clear tomorrow's agenda for at least 1 hour. Don't condemn yourself for lack of discipline in the past. Simply get down to business. Keep others informed of progress, but it's much better to show people that you are becoming more positive than to just tell them. If you tell somebody, hey, I'm feeling a lot better, and then snap at them and argue all the time, they're not going to believe you anyway. One warning, do not use prior commitments or a cluttered current agenda as a handy excuse for doing nothing, because nothing done accomplishes nothing. Lori, what's your second excuse?
I don't have the money to quit my job and start over, so how can I expect to transform my life?
Well, you know, you and I don't need to be wealthy to radically improve our personal outlook on the future and our personal daily emotions. We can rediscover joy in life without first winning the Powerball or the Mega Millions jackpot. In fact, we may be able to restructure and refocus on our career, if that's what's troubling us, without even abandoning our present job or our present employer. And we'll be talking all about that, about career opportunities, over the next 3 weeks. Your ultimate target, remember, is not just career success, but a joy and fulfillment as a well-rounded adult. Those people that get too wrapped up in career often ignore the other important aspects of their life, including relationships. As an early stage objective, see if you can't make mundane tasks and assignments, either at work or puttering around the house, whatever that task or assignment may be, see if you can't make that a small window of opportunity toward a brighter tomorrow. Remember, it's all about attitude. As Hank Williams Jr. once said in a song a few years back, you may need an attitude adjustment, but don't hit yourself in the side of the head like he does in that song. It's a positive attitude adjustment we're talking about. Gloria, what's your third suggestion here?
My life will change for the better someday when.
So what's your when? I've heard all these. When the kids are grown and off to college, after my or my spouse's next big promotion, as soon as I get my next raise, when I find a new job, once the economy improves, or how about this one, as soon as my wealthy uncle dies and leaves me that big inheritance. Well, I have to tell you, when is one of the most destructive excuses to procrastinate. When never arrives for some people, and if it does, it simply is replaced by a new when. The sad truth is, when ultimately often becomes it could have been. I challenge you right now to examine each one of your whens. What really prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, beginning right away? Why will positive thoughts and emotions somehow come to dominate your life all of a sudden if and only if a certain event occurs? Why can't you have those positive feelings and emotions without that event? What matters most in your life? That's another thing to ask yourself. And what's missing today? What positive steps can I take beginning today to help ensure that my dreams come true, whether or not the when actually becomes a reality? Remember, it's okay to dream. It's better yet to visualize a bright future strictly on your own terms. But you cannot base that future on unrealistic expectations, especially over things which we have little or no control. That makes absolutely no sense. Your initial task is to gain a firm fix on your ideal, what you really want out of life and what it will take to get it done. And your next challenge is to develop a game plan which will carry you from here to there. And believe me, these game plans get easier once your dominant emotion turns positive. Gloria, what's the next excuse?
I could accomplish the life of my dreams, if only.
Well, old if only. You know, that's a first cousin to the I will renew when, only unfortunately it's even worse. When at least leaves open the small possibility that you'll succeed someday, because when might happen. On the other hand, if only bitterly laments fate, misfortune, a past mistake, or someone else for your present unhappiness. It implies the chance for a new beginning is gone forever, if only. We've all heard rationalizations like the following. If only I'd finished my education. If only I were computer literate. If only I were better looking, taller, shorter, thinner, more athletic, more this or that or that and this. If only I were younger. If only I were smarter. If only my parents had taught me how to make money. There's blaming someone else, like I said. If only I wasn't so shy around other people. If only my job weren't so demanding. If only I'd married someone else. Better not use that line in front of your spouse. If only, pure and simply, is just a rationale for doing nothing. It gives us a handy out for maintaining the status quo, even if the status quo is far from ideal. Does it really make you feel better about yourself if you have an excuse? I don't think so. In truth, if only shouts out, I'm not good enough, but it's not my fault. That, in fact, is what if only does. It's a handy built-in excuse for remaining unhappy. The impressions of inadequacy and inability to change may have been implanted unintentionally by our parents or teachers or someone else way back when we were small children, or maybe when we were teenagers. Why should we continue to accept those limitations now? Why not try to put aside every if-only excuse and go for it? Go for what you really want out of life. You'll never know what you can accomplish unless you try. Gloria, what's your next excuse?
I live and work daily around complainers, so how can I be positive?
Well, that's a darn good question. I have to agree, it's difficult, if not impossible, to remain positive when everyone around us is negative. Therefore, I believe it's essential that we attempt to bring others along with us to a brighter tomorrow. The good news is, once we gain a favorable outlook on life and begin to pay attention to others and offer frequent kind words, smiles, and laughter, all these are highly contagious. A renewed person better understands and can relate to the motivation of others. I understand now why I was negative in the past, and I think I can relate better to why other people feel negative about things. We'll start to help others seek a solution to what's getting them down rather than just seconding their negative opinion. And don't forget, as we mentioned last week, it always takes two to tango. No one will argue and complain around you for long if you routinely fail to respond. Here's a good target. Become known as a positive energy supplier, not an energy drainer. We all know both kinds. We know the person that we come to all enthused that say, oh, that won't work. You'll never be able to make any money doing that. That's the energy drainer. Don't be one of those. Instead, be the person that comes up with some suggestions on how something will work. And try consistently to propose solutions, not to raise objections. That's another good tactic to try. Gloria, what's your next excuse?
God will change my life for the better if it's His will.
Well, I greatly admire the faith and trust in God of true believers. We all know the born-agains and the real true believers. However, I can't imagine that the Creator wants any one of us to sit back passively while He does all the work. That doesn't make a lot of sense, that He created wonderful beings, and yet He wants us just to sit back while He does everything. Every one of us, don't forget, is created in God's image with an inherent capacity to enjoy life to the fullest and to accomplish big things. The Creator implanted potential for positive outlook in every woman and man, everyone at least, who diligently seeks peace within. All of us have been granted brain power and internal resources almost beyond imagination, and I mean all of us. Life's winners, as you know, are those who joyfully employ a larger portion of their inherent resources, and they employ them for the greater good, not just for themselves. A reawakened spirit, of course, does not guarantee uninterrupted peace and prosperity, but it does ensure an unwavering inner strength. You know, the people with a reawakened spirit suffered from Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans, just like those who were down in the dumps. But they had that inner strength that carried them through, and I bet they recovered a lot faster than others. Now remember, God didn't create any of us to stand by helplessly, so don't try to blame God if you're unhappy. Let's get to work and make ourselves happy. And it's okay to pray for God's help, certainly, but we have to do some on our own. Gloria, what's the next one?
I'm just a little person, so what good would renewal do for little old me?
Oh, come on. Please refuse absolutely to limit your aspirations of living daily on a higher plane by branding yourself a little person. I hate to hear that excuse. In truth, everyone is equal in the eyes of the Creator. We know that. We need not amass great wealth, fame, or fortune to assume control over our inner emotions. And we all merit love, honor, and respect in our little corner of the world. Life is not a zero-sum game, and what the so-called movers and shakers are doing today in D.C. or New York or Los Angeles, they in no way prevent us from a positive life experience from coming our way. Don't forget, you and I can be a big person within our families, at our workplaces, and within our communities. And being a big person around those who have contact with us is really all that counts. I've never met Clint Eastwood, for instance, in person, but I don't know if he's a big person around those people he deals with regularly. I know he's considered to be a nice person, so he probably is. But you and I can be big people here in our communities. Concentrate your attention on those around you. Greet others warmly and treat everyone with respect. Dedicate time and money and resources to neighborhood and community. That's the secret to being a big person. Gloria, what's your next one?
The world is just too scary right now.
Well, in fact, economic upheaval like we went through in 2008, 2009, terrorism threats, which are always around, chronic unemployment, which we're suffering from now. Oh, we always hear about climate change, all these dire threats we have to our existence, according to some. It all makes it more essential, actually, rather than less essential, that you and I revive positive emotions today. I bet those of us remember 9/11/2001. I'll wager that you hugged loved ones more, you cherished your close friends, and I even bet you went out of your way to help neighbors and others in distress. I know I did. You probably began to pay more attention to what really matters, and you reordered certain priorities. As you launch renewal and gain confidence, you will find yourself more capable of challenging the future, certain or uncertain, and that's the key. With heightened consciousness, by your very nature, you will respond with warmth and compassion. And the silliest thing to do is sit around and worry all the time about where the world is going to H in a handbasket and that kind of thing. You know, I actually know a woman who recently was quoted as saying she's going to die if Barack Obama is not reelected this fall. Now, the woman is in her 70s, so she may very well die before the end of the next term of whoever might be president, but I don't think she should be staking her future on something other than one vote that over which she has absolutely no control. And I think I'll be just alive whether Barack Obama or Mitt Romney is elected this fall, and I think it's ridiculous to sit around and worry about events over which we have no control, and the world is pretty scary if we sit around and worry about it. We can worry about the deficit, we can worry about just about anything, but let's concentrate on our little corner of the world and see if we can't make that better and be happy doing it. Gloria, here's the last excuse we're going to hit you with today.
In light of my recent loss, it hurts too much.
Well, Gloria and I can relate to this one. We lost our only daughter, Kristen, back at the last day of 2006. She just gotten out of the Navy and was preparing to fly commercially when she was picking up a banner to haul over the San Diego Chargers football game. And as she hoisted the banner up on the rear of her plane and went up into the air, suddenly the plane mysteriously nosedived right down into the ground, killing her instantly. Believe me, that was a huge setback and a loss of a loved one I can relate to. A loss of a loved one or a cherished companion can darken our once positive outlook and bring an abrupt search or an abrupt halt, I should say, to our search for a brighter tomorrow. This is especially true if the loved one was a part of your daily life. Now, in the case of Kristen, she, of course, did not live with us. She had her own life out in San Diego. It was still tough, but I can imagine it would be even much tougher if someone, your spouse or loved one you'd lived with for a number of years, was suddenly to disappear from the scene. In the early stages of grief, don't attempt a radical life transformation, especially alone. It's fine to take time out to mourn. You don't need to instantly try to transform your life. The key is don't prolong that period of mourning so long that it becomes your new way of life. This is something you definitely don't want to do. possible early steps to recovery are something like this. Contact your best friend. If you lost your husband or your wife, contact that friend and get in touch with someone that cares. Venture with friends out to a movie or a joyous social event, but not one that will bring back memories, something that will start some new memories going. Seek outside advice and counsel if you must to move beyond grief to acceptance. There are a number of counselors out there who can help. Dedicate efforts to seek a fuller life and to serve others. You can dedicate these efforts to your loved one. I know that helped me. Kristen has been an inspiration, and the more I learned about some of the wonderful things she did in her life, the more inspiration it is for me, her father, moving forward. Remind yourself in reflection that you really have no choice but to change, so why not move forward for the better rather than backward in despair? Actively plan out the remainder of your life. However it's changed, once you get over that immediate grief, it's best to plan out your future in your new status. Seek out a cause and a hobby, anything that will fill the void so you don't sit around regretting the past. Here's an irony for you, and I know this worked out for me. The recovery phase from any life-altering trauma, in hindsight, may prove to be an ideal point in time to launch a personal renewal. And the reason I say this is because, especially if it's the loss of a spouse or a long-term relationship, a significant other, the prior status quo is no longer an option. You've got to change, so why not work on it and make that change positive? Well, I think we've had enough discussion of excuses for the day, but here's the bottom line. If you are less than fully satisfied with your middle-aged life today, personal circumstances are not likely to improve now or ever without your early and sustained personal intervention. If you sincerely want to change for the better, get to work. Let me tell you a story about a silly old hound dog that was observed here on a farm here in Iowa. This old hound dog was lying there on the porch, and every so often he'd turn his head and let out a mournful howl. Now, a visitor to this farm asked the farmer, "Why does your old hound sit there on the porch and continue to moan like that?" And the farmer said, "Well, let me tell you, this old hound dog is lying right on a tack there on the porch. But he's too lazy, and he just doesn't have the motivation to really move. So every once in a while, he just lets out a mournful, ooh." Now, that seems like a pretty silly situation that dog is in, but a lot of people are like that. They know darn well that they're not really satisfied with their life of middle age, but they just don't really want to take the initiative to get out and change it. And think how silly that is. So please don't wait for a crisis or some immediate need to get you to move. If you're not really happy or satisfied with your life today, go out and see what's out there for you. Begin the process of renewing your life. Begin with doing some of the self-help exercises we'll be talking about over the weeks and months to come. And let's get to work on bringing joy and contentment back into our lives. The good news is that's what this program is all about. Now join us next week and for the few weeks that follow, and we'll begin the actual process of midlife renewal. We'll have an honored guest next week who will help us connect to the job of our dreams. In fact, for the next several programs, we'll be talking about finding a career that really fits what we want to do with the rest of our lives. I'm Roy Richards, author, speaker, and founder of Middle Age Renewal Training. And for a comprehensive roadmap for renewal after 40, I recommend my book. Of course I recommend it. I wrote it. But it is a good book. It's a roadmap for going from here to there in your life. It's called A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up. You can preview it at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or at our own website, www.MiddleAgeRenewal.com. And the book is available both in print and an ebook form. And remember, as I said last week, this is your show, so please don't forget to contact me with your comments, questions and suggestions, or if you'd like to appear as a guest to tell your story on a future show, we'd love to hear from you. My email address is roy@middleagerenewal.com. That's all one word, roy@middleagerenewal.com. My phone number, you can reach me at 515 area code 221-9902. Thank you once again for tuning in. I hope that you gained some insight into some of the things that may have been holding you back, some of the excuses you may have been making, and why they really don't hold water. Please join us again in 1 week.